Hello, everyone, and welcome to a special, sort of intimate edition of FewerCast, where this week it's just going to be Justin and I shooting the shit about this week's Academy Award nominations announcement. Outside of the obvious nominations, we're looking at you and your 13, Mr. Oppenheimer. There are indeed some surprises and a collection of snubs that really had me puzzled. But before we get into all that, let me bring Justin on here so we can see how he's doing and hear some of his initial thoughts on this year's announcements. Justin, man, how goes it, brother?
Well, doing well. Doing well. Good to talk to you. Yes. Yeah, like I told you in the text, I'm probably going to be the turd in the punch bowl this episode, which I am often on this show, but especially this episode. I could not care less about all these awards at this point. I just don't get the least bit excited for this stuff at this point. But, you know, that being said, I'll play along as best I can.
Well, I think in that case, I'd argue that it would be more of an interesting take hearing your perspective of things.
There you go.
I mean, we kind of talked about it briefly before, you know, when I brought it up in the text earlier about, you know, just jumping on here for a little bit. You know, this isn't going to be the longest episodes, maybe like a half hour, 45 minutes tops. We're not really, nothing big planned. This is kind of an impromptu recording because I figured we do this kind of every year. There's always an episode of FewerCast where we at least talk about it collectively, or at least I rant about them. But I felt this year it's like, well, I know we don't have an episode planned this week, but let's just, you know, do one just primarily talking about the nominations. And yeah, getting back to what I was talking about, I'm kind of in the same boat, but I haven't quite given up on the Academy Awards. They're still, you know, obviously they're the big main awards season or awards show of the season. It's the most illustrious award of cinema, in my opinion. You know, it's always like the Golden Globes, and then the Academy Awards. But everything below the Academy Awards, I could give two shits about, and that includes the Golden Globes. But like I said, I haven't quite given up on the Academy Awards yet. Even though after this year, I have some takes. I mean, before we get into, you know, the actual categories, we're not going to go down all 20 odd, however many there are. We're just going to do the main ones, talk about them. Kind of like say predict who we initially, kind of like an early prediction of who we think is going to win, who we think should win. But again, only like the top like five or six categories. We're not going to get into like the deep stuff like sound and visual effects and stuff. But I figured we could talk about the snubs first, talk about the snubs and then some of the choices that surprised us, and then get into the categories. Again, the top categories. So snubs, I mean, at the top of my list here that I wrote, I kind of threw together a list of some stuff for each real quick earlier after work. At the top of my list, like I said, the Iron Claw receiving zero nominations is mind-boggling to me. I mean, it could even garnish a supporting actor nomination for Jeremy Allen. I can't think of his full name right now. Jesus Christ.
Jeremy Allen White.
Thank you, White. Because that film, it didn't like blow me away like, oh my God. It wasn't like I felt when I saw The Wrestler. But it's still a damn good movie with some great performances. Again, even Holt McCallany, who I thought was the best actor in the film. Not that I expected him to get away with an Academy Award nomination, but I'm just saying, I'm surprised they received zero nominations. That's crazy.
Yeah, I haven't seen it. It was one of those movies that went, you know, I'm not a wrestling guy, so
right.
I was like, that's a movie that maybe I'll watch on like TNT in 5 years when I just don't feel like flipping around the channels. But then I keep hearing all this good stuff about it, and it's like, and now I'm kind of interested. Now I want to check it out. And like, yeah, I've read like a lot of people a couple weeks ago were pretty convinced that it would get a few nominations. So yeah, it's a pretty beloved movie. I haven't seen anybody say anything bad about it, as a matter of fact. I've seen nothing but good things about that movie.
Yeah, it's like I said, it's great. It's I gave it 3.5 out of 5.
That's the least enthusiastic thing I've ever heard anybody say about it so far.
I mean, again, it didn't. I didn't come out of it the same way I came out of you know, Aronofsky's The Wrestler back in 15 years ago or so. But it's still a great film, you know, with some really great stuff. And being the wrestling fan that me and my brother are, because that's who me and Andrew went and saw it together, it's just, you know, we knew about the Von Erichs, so we expected a lot of the things to be shown. The Ric Flair, we thought was a joke. I don't know how they settled on whoever that was who played Ric Flair in that one scene, but didn't look like him, and he sounded more like Dusty Rhodes than anybody else. It was just, it wasn't the Nature Boy. But that, and then underneath of that, I have Margot Robbie for Barbie. Not that, I mean, they went all out with the nominations for Barbie. I figured that would have been a runaway nomination, her in the lead actress category. I hadn't seen Barbie, so I can't speak for her, you know, how she did or anything like that. But again, just based on word of mouth and everything, it was the highest gross film of the year. Not that that matters, but again, they went all out with the other nominations for this film. Why not include her in the top category for acting?
Yeah, I did see. That's one of the, I think, four of the movies nominated for Best Picture that I did see.
Okay.
I'm not going to sit here and I'll just say I was not a fan of the movie. I'm not going to say anything more than that, because making fun of Barbie is like making fun of Taylor Swift. Like, people just lose their fucking minds. So people seem to be upset by this. Like, I think maybe a little too much, but to each his own.
People are ranting about it. I mean, it was enough for me to scratch my head a little bit, but I'm not going to go like fucking post about it on X. Like,
see, here's the thing. Like, everybody made fun, and I'll bet some of these Barbie fans were among them, made fun of like Marvel fans when like the Avengers doesn't get nominated for a Best Picture. And the argument, which I happen to agree with, is that, look, the movie made a fucking $1 billion. Like, isn't that victory enough? Like, you have to have everything go in the movies. And A, like, why do you even give a shit? Like, why are you so invested in it? But let's say that you are, and like, you know, the you know, historic box office wasn't enough. It's also got to win all the awards. Like, I just don't understand that mentality. It's foreign to me. So
I don't expect it to run away with any award, actual like awards. I don't expect it. Maybe one or two.
Set design and costuming, that kind of thing. Maybe. I can see it winning. Yeah.
I mean, personally, I hope costume is. I hope costume goes to Poor Things personally, but you know.
I think maybe. Barbie will win a lot of technical awards.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, if anything, it'll be that. I certainly don't see it running away as a surprise Best Picture winner.
No, I don't think so.
My jaw will literally drop to the floor if that happens. DiCaprio.
Nah, I'm not that surprised by that.
Really? I thought he was one of the stronger suits of the film. Underneath Lily Gladstone, of course.
Yeah, her and De Niro are really the performances that people seem to talk about from the movie. And they were both nominated. So that makes sense to me. So,
I thought De Niro's performance, you know, of the three, I thought he was the third, but it was still great. I thought it was the best overall De Niro performance in quite some time.
In a while, honestly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I thought DiCaprio was great. I thought he was, like I said, underneath the Gladstone, like the best thing about the movie.
I think it's that mug he put. Like, I'm not even being facetious right now. I think it's that,
I know
look,
you're saying.
That grumpy cat look. Like, it just so rubbed people the wrong way. Which works in the character's favor because he's such a repellent character, you know. So I think that works in his favor. But yeah, I think that's maybe one of the reasons why people don't key in on that performance as much. I think now, over the people will come back to it years from now and go, you know what, he was really good in that movie.
Yeah, the whole him being slow and everything. Actually, Sean Fennessy pointed that out on the Big Picture podcast. I listened to it yesterday, and he was talking about that for a bit, and he suspects that might be one of the reasons why he was kind of shut out of that category this year. Mm-hmm. Fincher, I thought he would at least get a director nomination for the Killer.
Yeah, that.
You
know,
The Killer hasn't been talked about overall in the award circuit this year, which is kind of surprising. I expected a surprise directorial nomination for Fincher, at least. Honestly,
I think kind we're in the minority.
Nomination.
With that, I don't think people love that movie as much as we. It has its fans. Don't get me wrong, but I think generally speaking, a lot of people were just confused by it. That's another one. I think 5 years down the road, people are going to be like, "Oh shit, that was fucking actually a great movie." Like, I think people just didn't get it.
One of my favorite films of last year. I sure hope people catch on to it.
They will, because
it's that whole
Netflix thing. A lot of the criticism I heard was that it looked good, but like it's not about anything. It's like, dude, you didn't watch the same fucking movie I did. So,
I know. Wow.
Yeah. So it'll people will catch on to it with repeat viewings. In 5-10 years, it'll be beloved.
I'll bring one more up for us to talk about, and then kind of just breeze through the rest of my list for snubs. Defoe for Best Supporting Actor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. We could talk about that then. That really surprised me. I was like, I was certainly looking for him in supporting actor. You know, obviously Poor Things. We share a common interest. It's our favorite film of last year.
Yeah.
And I thought he was one of the best things about the movie.
Yeah.
And I thought it was overall one of Defoe's best performances ever.
I don't disagree. I'm actually kind of surprised that it got nominated as much as it did. It's just such a strange movie.
I expected it to have his money. I think it was 11, either 10 or 11, I think I read. Because Oppenheimer had 13. It was like one below the record for overall award nominations.
I just thought it might have been too strange a movie for the Academy types. It's like when, you know, like, I guess like the Terry Gilliam nomination, like when Brazil, if I remember correctly, I think Brazil got nominated for a bunch of stuff, and it's just such a strange movie for the typical Oscar baity kind of thing. So yeah, this reminds me of that in that way.
Okay. And the rest of my list in no particular order, The Killer receiving no nominations at all, not even in technical categories such as sound.
Mm-hmm.
May December only getting one nomination, original screenplay.
I was a little surprised by that.
Yeah. No Spider-Man Across the Universe nomination for score. Thought the score was one of the best things about that. And then finally, I'm low-key surprised at no nomination for Joaquin Phoenix this year. Usually he finds a way to get in there.
You know, that
not
was
this
a movie,
year.
That was definitely a movie that was too weird for the Academy, so that doesn't surprise me in the least. The major snub that you didn't mention is Greta Gerwig. That's the one that's everybody's really losing their shit over.
I'm not much so. Maybe again, it's the fact that I haven't seen the film. But I left that off my list for snubs. But yeah, people are pretty pissed about that.
Yeah.
Her and Greta Lee for actress or supporting actress, one of the two. Let me see here. Yeah, Past Lives, that's what she was in. On the surprises, at the top of my surprises list, America Ferrari for best supporting actress. Where did that come from? Like, literally, where did that come from? You've seen Barbie. I didn't even know she was in Barbie.
Yeah, she's got a pretty substantial role in it.
Is it enough for Best Supporting Actress?
I'm the wrong one to ask about that movie. I don't think anything should be nominated.
From a technical awards standpoint, I mean, you've seen the movie, so were you at least a bit surprised by this?
Am I surprised? No, because I know people were pushing for it. So it doesn't surprise. Yeah.
See,
yeah,
I didn't hear anything. I heard a zero fodder about her.
I've been seeing for months now, like, if America Ferrera doesn't get nominated, like, I'm going to lose my shit type post. So, it didn't surprise
me. My apologies, Ferrera. I'm calling her Ferrari. Sorry.
Did you call her Ferrari? I didn't even notice.
I called her Ferrari. I don't talk about her that much. So,
also, no nominations, right? Ferrari didn't get nominated for anything, did it?
Oh, fuck. No. I forgot about that. Not
right,
because
everybody's mad.
No sound, no visual effects.
Penelope Cruz was going to get nominated.
Huh?
Because everybody thought Penelope Cruz was going to get nominated.
Yeah, she's the best part of the film.
As a matter of fact, best supporting actress, what we're talking about, right? Or are we just talking about...
She'd be actress, I'd argue.
I thought I read that she was more supporting.
Maybe supporting, I guess. I don't know. because she's in the film an awful lot, and she does have a lot to do with the film, because like I mentioned in my written review of it on Letterboxd, it's not an actual biopic about his life like people would assume. It's just focused on one particular year of his life, from 1957. So everything that's happened already happened. When the film starts, they've already lost their son and everything. So, but I thought Cruise was one of the best things about the film. And one particular scene, speaking of the deceased son, like involves him. I'm not going to spoil, but her performance was like, I remembered it. I took from that fucking shot too. But yeah, I guess now that we're talking about it, the more and more, that's a snub.
Yeah.
But Michael Mann, wow. No writing, no directing, Jesus.
Yeah, it's a movie that kind of came and went. I didn't see a lot of I think people liked it but didn't love it. And, you know, you want to love a new Michael Mann movie because so few and far between, and there's not going to be many more of them. So you kind of want each one to be a masterpiece.
It had buzz, you know.
Again, I think because I think people wanted it to be, you know, I think they were building it up out of anticipation of it being great. And I didn't read anything that said it was bad, but everybody was just kind of like, yeah, that was a really good movie. Like, I haven't really seen many people say they were blown away by it.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, I felt it was a nice return to form for man.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he's 83 years old now. He's, you know,
well, he's not getting any younger. Heat 2 is next, right? Isn't that the next one up? That's what everybody wants, isn't it?
That's his next project, Heat 2. Yeah.
Well, so there you go.
We'll see. And then underneath that, on my surprises, all the European love from the Academy for both Anatomy of a Fall and The Zone of Interest. Didn't see that one.
I was surprised by Zone of Interest because I haven't seen it, but from what I understand, it's a very difficult movie.
Yeah.
Again, one of those that the Academy sometimes has problems with. But I don't think it's going to win anything, but
I mean,
it's one that people seem... The few people that have seen it seem to really, really love it.
Okay. Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning getting 2 nominations. Best visual effects and best sound. I gotta be honest with you. As much as I loved Fallout, the previous Mission Impossible film, like Dead Reckoning came and went. I saw it opening weekend, and I can't tell you. I remember like 2 or 3 things that happened in that movie. That's sad too, because I thought it had all the momentum going in its corner, and like it underperformed. I mean, they released it the week before Barbenheimer, so didn't really do it any favors. But and yeah, that one,
it didn't seem like people what you're saying is kind of, it seems to be the general consensus. I haven't seen it yet, but from what I've been seeing people say, it's not very enthusiastic. So
yeah, especially following up on Fallout, which was so damn good.
Well, and that's a tough act to follow. Like, some people consider that one of the greatest action movies ever made. So that's a tough act to follow. So, you know, it's, I haven't seen anybody say the new one's bad per se, but nobody seems to love it. So, you know, maybe the next one will make up for it.
Hopefully. Speaking of that, next on my list is the Academy for not getting the memo that Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning dropped the part one act last fall. Because it's officially under part one on the nominations list, even though it's no longer called that in a weird turn of events. Because they canceled.
They're going to call it something else.
They're renaming the second part something else. Because of the fact that it underperformed, they figured out the whole, well, no one's going to come back for a part two. So they dropped it. I mean, now it's on Paramount Plus starting today. Tomorrow, actually, comes out, and it's officially listed as just Dead Reckoning.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to drive me crazy with my fucking Blu-ray collection. My OCDs. Because, you know, it's not going to have... Because the 4K or Blu-ray has part one on it, on the spine. So, where's the part two? Well, funny story about that. Surprises, Colman Domingo for Best Actor. Some would argue that he stole DiCaprio's nomination. I did not have Rustin on my radar at all.
I've been hearing about it, and I don't know if it just came out and that's why, but I've only, like, literally in the past week or so, have heard about this movie.
Apparently it's not a good movie. apparently it's like just like subpar.
Yeah, I can see that. Based on what I saw about it, it didn't seem like anything I'd rush out to see. And again, it falls into that category of the guy that it's based on was active at a very interesting time in history. So I'd rather just read something about him or see a documentary about him than a movie where they portray all that stuff. So that's why I really, that movie's not on my radar. But yeah, there's really no other surprises in that category, right? The rest of them seem pretty on par for what people.
No, I just had two more on my list. I just had Danielle Brooks for Best Supporting Actress. Where the fuck did that one come from?
So which one is The Color Purple?
The Color Purple.
I feel like that's a movie that also kind of they had high expectations for, and it came and went.
Kind of like Cats.
No, not quite like Cats. The Color Purple, I think. There was this anticipation it was going to be like a cultural event, and I really haven't heard much about it, so I don't know if it's like a subpar movie. Like, I love the original Color Purple, but I haven't really heard much about this one, which led me to believe it must not be a great movie.
Yeah, no one's talking about it. It came in
right.
Theaters.
This almost feels like, you know, we want to get the Color Purple in there somehow. And this is the way, and you know, maybe she gives a, I don't mean to take away from her performance whatsoever, because I haven't seen it. It might be fantastic.
Right. I mean, my opinion of my surprise has nothing to do with her performance. It's just, did not see that one on I didn't have her on my bingo card for Best Supporting Actress nominations. And if anything, why wasn't that nominated under like music or whatever?
Well, they don't do that. That's the Golden Globes.
No, there's a music category for the Academy Awards. Best score. I mean, best original song.
Oh, you mean for The Color Purple? I thought you meant for Daniel Brooks.
No.
Jesus. Yeah, right. Yeah, no. Yeah, I mean, there's a few movies. There's at least two or three movies every year where it's like, they're not great movies, but we feel like we have to nominate something from them. Like, again, I think they expect some movies are going to be these cultural events, and when they're not that, it's like, well, we still got to get it in there somehow. There's a few of them usually every year.
And last on my list, John Williams' 54th nomination for Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny. Didn't see that one coming either.
Yeah, it's like a Meryl Streep nomination, like he got it.
Obviously.
Yeah.
It's like a sympathy nomination or something. I don't know.
Right, right. He's not going to win the game. Yeah, exactly. He's not going to win, but because he's won enough. It's not like he's been nominated 50 times and never won, and then you give him one at the end of his career. Like, he's won enough that just nominating him at this point for his final score is an honor in and of itself. So. The one that surprised me is this movie Naiad, which I had never heard of until it got nominated.
Like, I was familiar with it. It's a Netflix movie.
Is it? Like,
yeah.
How long ago did it come out?
When I was scrolling through looking for something to watch on there a couple weeks ago, I saw it pop up.
Oh, I've never heard
that's
of it.
That's how I caught wind of it.
I don't use Netflix that much these days.
That's how I knew it had Jodie Foster and Annette Bening.
Yeah.
And they were the only two nominations for the movie.
Right.
Nothing else.
Yeah. I'd never heard of it until...
I knew about the movie. I just didn't know it was going to get nominations. I mean, I guess that could put that as a surprise, but, I mean, I didn't even bother.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the categories, or at least the main ones. Start with Best Supporting Actress. We got Emily Blunt for Oppenheimer, Danielle Brooks, as we just mentioned, for The Color Purple, America Ferrari, for Barbie. Hey, that rhymes. Jodie Foster, speaking of, for Naiad, and Divine Joy Randolph for The Holdovers. Justin, who do you think should win this category versus who do you think will win?
I mean, the only one I've seen is America Ferrara. I have not seen any of these other movies yet, so I really can't say.
Well, then who do you think will win then,
Based on what I've been seeing people say, I think it's going to be Divine Joy Randolph. That seems that seems to be a pretty beloved performance. I'm excited to see that movie. I haven't gotten to it yet, but I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, she's the one that I think should win because I also have not seen the film, but I know how good of an actress she is, and I can only imagine she's just as good in this film. If she can do with that goddamn show, The Idol, Because she's great on that show. She's
oh,
the
is
best
that where she's
that
from?
Show.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen her in anything.
She's the best. That's where I know her from, is from that show. And she's she was my favorite. She was the reason I watched that show for its 6 or 7 episode duration, because I thought she was awesome, and that her chemistry with Hank Azaria was just fucking great. They had a lot of good comedic timing and whatnot. I just thought all around she was like, she was, you just, sometimes you see a performance in somebody and you just feel it, you know? And I just felt it with that performance, on that joke of a show, but it carried on, and she's on this, you know, this film that's getting a lot of buzz, The Holdovers. And here we are sitting on the nomination. I have not heard a lot of buzz based on her in that film, but I think she should win. But I think who I think will win, honestly, is Emily Blunt, Oppenheimer. And I say that because I feel Oppenheimer's going to be, it's going to sweep a lot of categories this year. Maybe not all of them, but I think a lot of these, I think a lot of these categories are going to be the obvious winner. I think this is one of them. I think Oppenheimer's going to clean up with a lot of awards this year. That's just a hunch I'm going off of. No particular reason. I just feel it. Based on word of mouth and everything, like, people.
Have you seen Oppenheimer yet?
I'm still sitting on it. I own the movie. I'm finding the right time to commit to a 3-hour movie.
Yeah.
At home, it's you know, it's because I really want to give it my all, and I'm actually thinking about going to see, because I know it's still playing over down the street at the IMAX. I might just say fuck it and go use my AMC A-list card and just go fucking see it.
Mm-hmm.
Why not? You know, I had the movie at home. I can, you know, just watch it whenever. So, that being said, best supporting actor, Sterling K. Brown for American Fiction. Robert De Niro, Killers of the Flower Moon. Robert Downey Jr. for Oppenheimer. Ryan Gosling for Barbie. And Mark Ruffalo for Poor Things. All right, who do you think should win versus who do you think will win?
This is another one of those things. I've seen two of these performances. I've seen De Niro and I've seen I've seen three. I saw Gosling. Oh,
there you go. Okay. You've seen more than half.
Out of the three I've seen, I think Ruffalo gave the best performance out of those three. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised by an upset in Gosling winning.
Really?
But if there was going to be an upset, I think it would be that one.
Okay.
But I think this is Downey's.
Not mad at it.
He's a beloved guy. He's got a good comeback story. Been doing this a long time. People love him as an actor. I think he gets it for Oppenheimer.
All right. We're on the same boat. I think Ruffalo should win, but I think RDJ is going to win. He's already won the Golden Globe. And I think just for that pure reason, you know, the Academy is going to give him the same recognition. And it's going to be another one of those moments because he's been through so much, you know, he's done a lot to get to this point. We almost felt this, what was it, 16 years ago for Tropic Thunder, but not quite, because it happened to be the same year that Heath Ledger passed away. So, of course, everybody was all over his nuts, respectfully. But here we are, 16, 17 odd years later, I think he's finally going to get the statue. That's it, point blank. So, next up on my list here, I have Best Director. Justine Triet for Anatomy of a Fall. Martin Scorsese for Killers of the Flower Moon. Christopher Nolan for Oppenheimer. Yorgos Lanthimos for Poor Things. And Jonathan Glazer for The Zone of Interest. See, that could have been David Fincher. But no, it had to be Jonathan Glazer. I think Yorgos should win, but I think Nolan's going to win this. I think they're finally going to give Nolan... No one's never won an Academy Award, right?
No.
Okay, I didn't think so. I think they're finally going to give it to him in the same way, in the same way that RDJ obviously has been around for much longer. His story's a lot deeper. But respectfully, I think that they're going to recognize Nolan the same way that they're going to recognize RDJ this year. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm sort of in the same boat. I think they like Nolan. They've kind of been waiting for him to make the kind of movie where they can give him an Academy Award. Mm-hmm. Now, having said that, don't be surprised if they give it to Scorsese as a
I was thinking as a dark lifetime horse winner. Achievement,
like, you know, make him a two-time Oscar winner.
Yeah,
I'm really not that he needs to be solidified as a legend, but as far as in the Academy Awards, you know, or can, like being a director and winning for best director twice kind of puts you in a different level. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it does.
So don't be surprised if he pulls off the dark horse victory. But I, you know, my brains tell me Nolan's going to win.
Yeah, I think so too. Although I would not be mad at all. Scorsese did win.
No, not at all.
Even though I feel like Yorgos should win it, I would not be mad at all if Scorsese won it.
From what I'm hearing, it maybe should be Jonathan Glazer based on what I heard about that movie. But I haven't seen it, so I can't say that.
Right. All right, Best Actress, Annette Bening for Naiad, Lily Gladstone for Killers of the Flower Moon, Sandra Hüller for Anatomy of a Fall, Carrie Mulligan for Maestro, and Emma Stone for Poor Things. Speaking of Maestro, Bradley Cooper not getting a director nomination is kind of surprising. I didn't think about that. I didn't think about that until just now.
Yeah, I'm not surprised by that. I think in the end, people respected maybe the acting more than the movie itself. So that didn't surprise me.
Yeah, okay. Well, not in a bit. Let's put a pin on that. Did I say Emma Stone for Poor Things? If not, Emma Stone for Poor Things. So, who I think should win and who I think will win are the same. Lily Gladstone. And let me preface that by saying, I've already said it, but let me just say, Emma Stone, so close. I mean, I just felt like this, normally I would be like, this is Emma Stone's year. Because I fucking love Poor Things, so I'm biased. But I still feel like she was one of the best things about the film. No, she was the best thing about the film. But Lily Gladstone was just so fucking good in Killers of the Flower Moon that it had to be the same year. Nope, sorry. This is Lily's title to lose, honestly. Or award. Sorry, we're talking about wrestling again. But yeah, what do you think?
So I haven't seen Naiad or Anatomy of a Fall. I can't speak to those two performances, but I don't think either one is going to win anyway.
No, and that means the same thing as John Williams, I feel. Kind of like,
right.
Hey, yes. You've made it.
Well, I feel like she gets nominated and, she, you know, maybe one of these years that she'll actually, I don't mean this to sound shitty the way I'm saying it. I don't mean it this way, but one of these years she might actually win it. But I feel like they keep her in the game every few years by giving her a nomination.
It's like Glenn Close.
Hey, yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I have to say, I saw Maestro and did not like it, but I thought Carrie Mulligan was excellent in it. So not that I think she's going to win, but I wouldn't be mad if she did. Emma Stone was just amazing in Poor Things. Just so good. But I think it's going to be Lily Gladstone. It would be an historic win. You know, all these award shows are trying to diversify and, you know, recognize more than just white men and women. So... yeah, I think that's the obvious choice. And she was good in the movie. I will say, I didn't love that movie. I like it. It's very well made.
I didn't know you. I know you didn't love the movie, but I didn't know how you felt about her performance.
She's good, but part of my problem, and it's not her performance, it's not her fault, it's with the movie and the way it's written. She spends a large chunk of it lying in bed.
Sick. Yeah,
sick, right? It's like... it's she like, does. Okay, like, this is the performance that everybody's losing their minds over. And again, it's not her fault. You know, when she's given something to do, and she plays sick very well, don't get me wrong, but she's more interesting when she's up and, you know, engaging with the other characters. And there's just not enough of that in the movie for me. So that's why I'm a little biased against their performance, but you know, again, not her fault. She's very good in it.
Yeah, you are right about that. She does spend an awful long time in that damn bed, but in her defense, it is a 3.5 hour long movie. Yeah. So, all right. Well, and as strongly as I feel about her and her performance in that film, I would not be mad at all if Emma Stone pulled the upset of the century and won the award over her. But I don't feel.
I wouldn't wish that on Emma Stone, because people will lose their fucking minds if Lily Gladstone doesn't win, and they'll take it out on Emma Stone.
That'll be right.
If she had something to do with it, you know, like it's her fault. So no, it's Lily Gladstone.
Yeah. Like flames will be shooting out of fucking manholes and shit in LA, all across Hollywood.
People are still mad at Jamie Lee Curtis for having the gall to win an Academy Award last year. It's like, what the fuck,
yeah,
man? It's not even worth it at this point, so.
Get over it, people. Get over it. All right, two more categories. Next up, Best Actor. We got Bradley Cooper. We can pull that pin out now. Maestro. We got Coleman Domingo for Rustin. Paul Giamatti for The Holdovers. Cillian Murphy for Oppenheimer. Jeffrey Wright for American Fiction. We didn't talk about Jeffrey Wright. I've always been a Jeffrey Wright fan. I had not seen American Fiction, but I can only imagine, you know, that his performance is... He's one of them actors that, like, he's great whatever he does. I mean, he was great, like, 25 years ago in Shaft. I felt he was the best part of that movie, and he was just a young and up-and-coming actor. But no, seriously though, and this is the one I feel like Giamatti should finally, you know, he didn't win for Sideways, right?
No.
Didn't think
never,
so.
He's number one.
Yeah, this man, come on Academy, let's give it to Giamatti, but I feel like this is Killian's.
Yeah.
First nomination for Killian, plus it's Oppenheimer. So, it's kind of an unfortunate situation, kind of like Emma Stone. How about you? What do you think?
Yeah. So the ones I've seen, actually, I've only seen one of these, Bradley Cooper, and he was fine. I just found that movie annoying. So, and he's not going to win. So whatever. Coleman Domingo, like I said, I'd rather just watch a documentary on the subject. Jeffrey Wright, I haven't seen American Fiction, but now I'm really super excited to see it because it sounds like it's actually very good. You know, it's getting all these it's good because it's getting nominated, but there must be something to it. So looking forward to seeing that. Still haven't seen Oppenheimer or The Holdovers. Yeah, there's a part of me that wants to say they're going to give it to Giamatti because, again, he's one of those guys who's been around people. You know, everybody loves him as an actor.
It'll be a hell of a moment on stage if he wins it.
Yeah, that's another one. Like
the ovation saying, they'll give
the
him.
Dark horse. Not that I think it's much of a dark horse. I think it is sort of a race between him and Cillian Murphy. But
it is.
Yeah, I think this is just Oppenheimer's year. So they really seem to like it. So, yeah, I think it's going to be him.
And finally, Best Motion Picture, the Godfather Award of the evening. American Fiction, Anatomy of a Fall, Barbie, The Holdovers, Killers of the Flower Moon, Maestro, Oppenheimer, Past Lives, Poor Things, and The Zone of Interest. Before I give off my predictions, I want to say I miss the days where it was just 5 nominations.
It is a lot. I'm looking at that list. I'm like, man.
If memory serves me correctly, they started this exactly 15 years ago, and... Stop. It's just too much. It's like we're.
Has it been that long?
It's half the. Yeah, because 2009 was the year that District 9 came out, and that got a Best Picture nomination.
Right. It was in response to Dark Knight not getting nominated, is basically why they did it. Because everybody was pissed off that the Dark Knight didn't get nominated. That was 2008, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody was pissed off that didn't get a Best Picture nomination. So, I think they were like, we need to expand the list so we can include movies like that. And then District 9 was that movie the year.
District
that
fucking 9 got a Best Picture nomination.
Yeah.
And they do it for all these movies that are just like, I don't know.
Barbie this year.
Barbie. Thank you.
Yeah. Yep.
It's like a pity me nomination. It's like, here's a complimentary Best Picture nomination since we have so many fucking to choose from.
Right.
No.
$1 billion wasn't enough.
It'll never go back down. Well, I can't say never. Never say never, but I just don't feel it'll go down.
They haven't done 10 every year since, have they? I feel like some years it's a shorter list.
Maybe they've done 9, 8, but it's always like, just come on. It hasn't been 5 since 2008.
Right. I feel like it's been 7 a year or 2. It probably has.
Now, yeah. Now that you mention it, I think you're right. I think some years they've only done like 8 or 9, but for the most part, it's 10. It's ridiculous. But that being said, should win, obviously Poor Things. Who I think will win, obviously Oppenheimer.
Yeah.
Any objections to that?
Nope.
Yeah, didn't think so. So that'll wrap up our conversation this year, at least, for the nominations. May the best film, actor, filmmaker, talent, may the best, whatever you are, whoever you are, win.
What would you get for a 6-year-old boy who chronically wets his bed?
Before we get out of here, any recommendations for the week before we go?
Just any movie in general?
Yeah, just like a quick recommend.
What have I watched recently? I'll tell you what. I rewatched just last night a movie called Let's Scare Jessica to Death.
Okay.
Have you ever seen it?
Never seen it. I'm familiar with it, though.
It's just a real... It's early 70, like 71, I think. Real.
Yeah, I was going to say it's old.
Yeah, low budget. Very simple movie. But the actress in it, Zora Lampert, just gives one of my all-time favorite performances. You know, she's playing a woman who's just coming off of having a nervous breakdown, and throughout the movie you're kind of wondering, and she's wondering if she's having another one or if these weird things are really happening. And even when she's quote-unquote normal, she's a little bit of a kook. She just gives off an air of somebody you can believe just came back from a mental institution. It's just a really great performance. And, you know, it's like an 86-minute movie. It's not super long. Very good. I highly recommend it.
I'm going to recommend this week, obviously, 1992's Unlawful Entry, a film that I was just talking about in our chat. Look, Shout Factory put out a few weeks ago, actually. No, it wasn't even that. It was so quickly. It was 2 weeks ago they announced a surprise website exclusive pressing of the Blu-ray. First time on the format. And it was only limited to like 1,500. And as soon as I saw that, I was like, oh shit. And I whipped out my card and ordered a copy. And then within a week, it was sold out. And I think they just announced that they're doing another pressing for like another 1,500 or so. But anyway, got my copy, popped it in, watched it, was taken back to back when I saw it when it was on HBO when it first premiered like 30 odd years ago. And then I went ahead and rewatched it again today. I was just sitting around bored, and I could have watched Oppenheimer, but I didn't feel like committing to 3 hours. So I committed to 1 hour and 45 and rewatched Unlawful Entry. And speaking of performances, dude, Ray Liotta's performance in that movie is fucking riveting shit. He puts the fear of God in even me. So if you're looking for a really out of control, unhinged Ray Liotta performance, kind of like Russell Crowe from that movie Unbroke, whatever, was it called Unhinged?
I think it was Unhinged, yeah.
Yeah, maybe that, like a psychopath, like kind of like that. Then yeah, check this out. Kurt Russell and Madeline Stowe, who we've been talking about recently.
Yeah.
It is a great cast. It is. Even Dick Miller pops up in a scene. I was like, Dick Miller, I fucking love Dick. So that's what I recommend. If it's still available, you know, pick up the Blu-ray. You know, support Shout. Support physical media. Fuck you, Best Buy.
Yeah, I got cheap, but you mentioned that today in our chat, and I was like, I'm going to pull it out and rewatch that. It's been a while. Because I just saw it for the first time either like a year or maybe a year and a half, 2 years ago.
Okay.
And it's fucking great, man. I was like, I just thought it was going to be just sort of like this mid-grade, forgettable early 90s thing. And it's like, goddamn, why isn't this more well known? This is a fucking awesome movie.
Yeah. Ray Liotta is just so awesome in that movie. All right, well, thank you all for listening to this special shortened edition of FewerCast. I promise next week we'll be back with our regular format, but before we get out of here, allow me to handle some housekeeping. You can check out all previous episodes of FewerCast, along with our main show, The Film Effect Podcast, on all major podcast platforms, such as the one you're currently listening to us on right now. There's a start. Or directly on our website. That's right, we got one of those, which is simply thefilmeffectpodcast.com. Help us get some proper respect from the almighty algorithm by sharing this episode or telling all your friends about us. You can also do so by leaving us a 5-star rating or review over at Apple Podcasts or Spotify. And finally, you can help us by following us on X or Twitter at Film Effect Pod, or TikTok and Facebook, The Film Effect Podcast. Coming up on the main feed, we've got episodes on Child's Play 2, The Butterfly Effect, and RoboCop 2 all coming up within the next week or so, with episodes coming up this February, such as The Warriors, Inside Man, Crazy Stupid Love, and Wes Craven's The People Under the Stairs. We're giving them all our signature Film Effect treatment, so might want to check that out. Once again, thanks for listening, and until next time, I'm Ed.
I'm Justin.
And this has been an all-new episode of FewerCast. Take it away, Sean.
All right, gang. We're going to see you all again next time when those theater lights go dim. The opening credits begin to roll.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye.